This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Wednesday, Christmas Eve. The U.S. is having an unseasonably warm holiday week. Denver broke a 70-year-old heat record on Monday. That's according to the National Weather Service. And parts of the Great Plains are up to 35 degrees hotter than usual. The temperature shift in the Roaring Fork Valley is not as extreme, but it has seen an even stronger influence of human-caused climate change. Aspen Public Radio's Michael Finelli has more.
Denver International Airport hit a high of 76 degrees on Monday, shattering a daily record set in 1955. Aspen is running about 12 degrees above its historical average temperatures this week. And carbon pollution has made that temperature change at least 5 times more likely, according to scientists at Climate Central. That organization tracks temperature anomalies around the country and analyzes how heat spikes can be attributed to climate change. A storm is expected to bring rain to the western slope tonight, but temperatures are forecast to drop enough to turn that into snow by Friday. For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Michael Finelli.
This summer, the Aspen Police Department ramped up education and enforcement of e-bike rules in town. Aspen Daily News reporter Lucy Peterson has more.
The Street Smart program launched this year because e-bike usage has surged. The police department ramped up outreach and education about e-bike compliance with the city while also increasing enforcement. Police officers worked with park rangers in town to increase interactions with bike riders. They also patrolled more often for e-bike compliance issues. The most common violations? People riding bikes on the pedestrian mall, rolling through stop signs, and e-bike usage on trails that don't allow it. Total traffic collisions declined nearly 24% over 4 years, but pedestrian and bicycle collisions remained steady between 2 and 4% of all crashes. The city will try to implement long-term safety measures like expanding temporary and permanent vehicle barriers on pedestrian bikeways throughout town. Lucy Peterson, Aspen Public Radio News.
It may feel busy on the slopes, but Aspen's winter tourism season is off to a slow start. Despite crowds on Aspen Mountain and packed restaurants, the Aspen Daily News reports that a lack of snow is triggering lodging cancellations during what's usually one of the busiest weeks of the year. Business owners say dry conditions are impacting hotels, restaurants, and caterers alike, and with little snow in the forecast, they're hoping for a storm to turn things around. Still, locals say the season is recoverable, and the spirit in Aspen remains strong. As soon as tomorrow night, flakes may fly. In arts and culture news, for the first time, the Denver Art Museum has an exhibit that features art created entirely by veterans. It's called Beyond the Military, From Combat to Canvas. Jim Stevens is a Vietnam veteran who helped make the exhibit possible. His work is also featured.
There's an emotion coming out of these images from somewhere that I don't always see in non-veteran work. But either way, it's brilliant to look at.
The exhibit at the Denver Art Museum runs through February. In statewide news, the Trump administration decided not to grant Colorado a disaster declaration for recent wildfires. CPR's Caitlin Kim reports lawmakers are asking the White House to rethink that decision.
Republican Representative Jeff Hurd says the communities seeking federal help have long supported President Trump and are now facing real human and economic consequences of recent disasters. The administration denied Colorado's request for a major disaster declaration for the Elk and Lee fires in the northwestern part of the state, as well as historic flooding in the southwest. The declarations would have unlocked federal funding for recovery efforts. Democratic lawmakers accuse Trump of playing political games and say they will appeal the decision. A White House spokesperson said politics didn't play a part. Caitlin Kim, CPR News.
Immigration activist Jeanette Vizquera is free this week after an immigration judge decided over the weekend she is not a flight risk. Here's CPR's Allison Sherry.
Technically, Immigration and Customs Enforcement is not supposed to hold someone in civil detention if they're not considered a flight risk or public safety threat. But federal judges around the country, including Colorado, have found that ICE isn't always following their own rules. Vizquera has been in Colorado since the 1990s, working in retail and cleaning businesses. She is without legal status, but she was granted several stays and work authorizations over the decades. In March, ICE arrested and detained her on a lunch break, and she's been in custody ever since. While she gets to join her family for the holidays, her deportation proceedings are still pending. I'm Allison Sherry, CPR News.
A state senator had been drinking before she died in the car crash that took her life. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Benta Berkland has more.
State Senator Faith Winter was driving with a blood alcohol level twice the legal limit when she was killed in a traffic crash a few days before Thanksgiving. The Arapahoe County Sheriff's Office completed its investigation and toxicology reports into two crashes that occurred in close proximity on I-25 near Centennial. Winter hit a truck that was stopped due to the previous crash. The truck did not have visible rear taillights. Officials determined that Winter was at fault in that second crash. The investigation said there would be no arrests. Winter is survived by her two children.
For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, that was Benta Berkland. This Christmas marks the 70th anniversary of the NORAD Santa Tracker, based in Colorado Springs. The tradition began in 1955, after a newspaper ad printed the wrong phone number for a Call Santa hotline. Instead of reaching the North Pole, children were connected to the Operations Center of the Continental Air Defense Command, NORAD's predecessor. Major Jenny Dorenzis with the Canadian Armed Forces, who also serves with NORAD, says one call was answered by Air Force Colonel Harry Shoup, the commander on duty.
He was the commander on duty that night, and he was quick to realize that, you know, this mistake had been made. And while he could not connect this youngster to Santa, was able to say, you know what, hey, we have all that technology and capability to let you know where he is right now, you know, on his journey across the globe. So thus began a very magical tradition.
NORAD's Santa Tracker is preparing for another busy Christmas Eve. Major Dorenzis says volunteers answered more than 380,000 calls from children worldwide last year. You can track Santa by calling 1-877-HI-NORAD or visiting noradsanta.org. And in regional news, Senator Mike Lee, a Republican from Utah, has gotten initial approval for a bill that would transfer 24 acres of Forest Service land to the town of Bryanhead in southwest Utah. But Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yannis reports some are concerned this could lead to more ambitious proposals to dispose of public lands.
This summer, Lee proposed selling millions of acres of Forest Service and BLM land for housing, which was met with swift and bipartisan backlash. Now he's trying to get a parcel of the Dixie National Forest transferred to Bryanhead, which he says is for the town to build new public works facilities. But the bill included no environmental review processes or the opportunity for public comment on the transfer, nor does it include any mechanism to make sure the land is actually used for a specific purpose. Steve Block with the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance says Mike Lee's track record with public lands is concerning.
That's how we view this bill, is perhaps a facet of that land sell-off, and is maybe the camel's nose under the tent. That if you're able to accomplish a 24-acre sell-off bill, then larger things are going to be possible.
He says there needs to be checks in place to make sure Bryanhead or other towns that go through this process actually use the land for its intended purpose. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
Navajo Highways is a children's TV show using puppets to teach kids Diné, the Navajo language, and their culture. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Gabriel Pedorazio has more on the program's new holiday special.
The episode is called Yate Keshmas, and on this Christmas Eve in the fictional Mitten Creek, we follow young Sadie and her family's return to the res. Series creator Pete Sands lives in Utah and drew inspiration from his own life in the year 1989.
That was the last Christmas I had with my father and my two younger sisters alive. That's the story.
And his favorite scene is when Sadie's parents show up, giving her confidence at the big pageant after being suddenly called away.
Okay, I'm going to sing our family's Christmas song.
It's like the old 80s or 90s TV family shows where, you know, last minute miracle.
Okay, here I go.
Sadie.
Sands hopes his story brings holiday cheer to all who hear.
Remember, Yate Keshmas to all.
And to all a good night.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Gabriel Pietrazio.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Josie Taris, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.